Hello, and thank you very much for inviting me to share my thoughts on the future of disability rights. When I started in this field 36 years ago, there were a couple handfuls of us that I would identify ourselves as disability rights lawyers. And now, look what we have here. And one thing I know in the future is because of TenBrook, because of NFB holding this conference, and because of DRBA, we're going to have more lawyers dedicated to securing equal rights for people with disabilities. I have spent, I would say, most of my waking hours in the last 35 years thinking and talking about disability rights. So I have lots and lots of ideas, and I'd love to share so many of them with all of you. I've been thinking about models of equality, about formal equality, substantive equality. I've been thinking about civil rights as a human right. How does economic equality fit in? Identity politics, congressional politics. But alas, I have 12 minutes. So in those 12 minutes, I've decided to focus my remarks on the education of disabled children, an area in tremendous crisis. Many of the speakers today have focused on the future of 504 and the ADA, and I want to talk about the IDA for that reason, because it's the 40th anniversary of the IDA, and also because we're at a very, very critical moment in deciding whether the IDEA has been a success or a failure, or whether it can continue as a model for the education of children with disabilities. DREDF is currently very involved in the school-to-prison pipeline work, and as I'm sure many of you know, it is a national crisis of huge dimensions. We have convened a meeting at NCD, National Council of Disabilities, on this topic. We're writing a report for NCD for Congress on this topic, and we represent hundreds of parents who want something for their kids, and what they're getting instead is failure in school and a ticket on the pipeline. I'm sure you know that disabled kids are twice as likely to be suspended, and that if you're a black disabled kid, you're four times as likely to be suspended from school. And 85% of incarcerated youth have disabilities, very few of which were identified at school. The school-to-prison pipeline has attracted a lot of attention from the media, government, foundations, politicians, civil rights organizations, lawyers, et cetera. The president's initiative, My Brother's Keeper, issued a task force report which recommends various interventions primarily targeted at black boys. Disabled students are not addressed. Yet, if you read the report, all of the educational strategies and interventions come from the special education playbook. Everyone is abuzz now. All the civil rights lawyers that are doing this work are talking about PBIS, positive behavioral interventions and supports. But what isn't known is that all of that came from special education, and that special educators developed the idea and have been actually testing it for 20 years. Interestingly, when criticism was made that the My Brother's Keeper doesn't cover girls, black girls, the assistant secretary that's in charge of the task force, Jim Sheldon, said this. In special education, they have this thing called universal design for learning. It basically says that once you figure out how to design something well for a special needs population, you can actually take those design principles and do it in a way that actually benefits everyone. I very much believe this is a process like that. What are the specific needs of this population, boys and young men of color, But in doing so, identifying those needs, we are creating an infrastructure that actually will benefit everyone. That will allow you to identify vulnerable populations who are disproportionately boys and young men of color, but are not exclusive. Sorry, that'll allow you to identify vulnerable populations who are not exclusively boys and young men of color. That will benefit girls of color. That will benefit white boys who have issues that are causing them to be chronically absent and to be on the path of dropping out of school. We want to create an infrastructure to eventually help all children achieve their potential. And if this is a way to get there, let's do it. So how do you like that? Basically, using the idea of education of disabled children and all that's been developed under the IDEA, the principle of universal design, the principle that if you properly educate disabled children, everyone benefits. And what's happening right now is that those skills that have been developed in that area are the skills needed in general education. For so long, so many of us who advocate for children with disabilities and both in courts and in the IEP meetings and in the legislature have been arguing for access to the general ed curriculum. And now there's just something so interesting happening because the general ed curriculum doesn't know how to deal with not only disabled kids, but most kids. And what they need are the skills that have been developed in special education and through a disability consciousness. Differentiation of curriculum, positive behavioral supports, adaptations in the way things are done. These are the things that are now being suggested as reforms in general education. So general education is now looking to special education for its guidepost. Now, if you read My Brother's Keeper, you won't see any reference to disabled children. And you won't see any background about how the various interventions that all come from that disability playbook, from special ed playbook, originated. And that's because that was not seen as a way to strengthen the report. It was very important, I think, in the drafters of the report to kind of stay away from that. And also, there's a common misperception that somehow being black and being disabled are like two different things. It's not one person. We had an amazing example of that at Dredf, where one of the school districts that we're working with developed a summer school because of My Brother's Keeper's initiative for black boys who were transitioning from junior high to high school. And so we were like, perfect, we have a client that would be perfect for that, that really needs that, that's facing a lot of suspensions and, you know, is making that move and has an IEP with behavioral supports in it. And the school said to us, oh, no, that summer school is for black boys transitioning to high school. This is a black boy transitioning to high school, but not if the person has special needs. Because it's not a special ed program. So this illustrates how destructive the us and them idea in education has been, and also these silos. Special ed kind of always exists in its own world, and it's not a world that has a lot of influence on general ed. And I think that there's possibilities of that changing now that I think general ed knows that it really can't survive unless it opens that special ed toolkit. But what really misses the boat about the district's answer is that all of the kids in that academy, whether they have IEPs or not, would benefit from behavioral supports, academic supports, modifications, and individualized attention. And so now in the progressive education community, there's a really strong push towards getting rid of special ed as a separate silo and having universal design in education. And I recently spoke at a conference of TASH, which is a very progressive organization of educators for disabled children. And so I read all the literature that's coming out from progressive educators. And the idea is, look, it's 40 years later, IDEA has failed. And we need to have just a unified system where everyone's recognized as having, unique needs, because most students do. And everything that was in that, was in all that literature, I agreed with. I thought it was great. Except that along with that comes the idea of getting rid of the disability identification. And that concerns me, and I'll get back to that in a minute. I've also been reading, in preparation for the National Council on Disability meeting, all of the literature from the civil rights academic community. And on IDEA, it is very negative. Very negative in the idea that it's seen as, instead of a solution to the school-to-prison pipeline, a step into the prison, school-to-prison pipeline. A case out of Philadelphia had a tagline, special ed case, just say no to special ed. In fact, in the literature, it's even suggested that IDEA was kind of a sinister attempt to resegregate black kids after Brown. Now, I was really amazed by how much it's just assumed that the last thing in the world you ever want a black kid to have is a disability or a label of disability in school. A lot of the articles also talk about the stigma and how the stigma can last a lifetime. Now, it's a very interesting area. Don't get me wrong, special ed kind of deserves this reputation because of overclassification of black youth in special education classes that are dead-ended. Extremely poor outcomes, and general segregation. But we have to be very, very careful before we throw the baby out with the bathwater. At Rediff, we're confronted with the thorny issue every day. Do we fight for kids, for black kids who are failing and being suspended? Do we fight when their parents come to us and say, I know something's going on because they're not able to read as well as they should be. They're not able to do math. They're not able to sit in their seat. You know, there's issues, but I can't get the school to pay attention to them. So the question is, given all this literature, do we fight for these kids to get special education and to be identified as disabled? And the answer is yes, we do, every day. And the reason we do is because we think it's the best bet we have for those kids. It's the best thing out there currently to try to disrupt the pipeline. We get, for these kids, services in the general education classroom to support them to stay in the general education classroom. Academic supports, behavioral supports, counseling. Someone to like look over what's going on even with that kid, and not to just keep on having them be invisible and one more suspended kid. So right now there's, as I said, and this is the future, there's a lot of movement towards just get rid of IDEA, get rid of special ed, just have everyone have a unified, universal education. And I think it's wonderful, and I think there's great thinking in the area, but it really worries me that there's this idea that it kind of feels to me like giving in to the stigma instead of trying to confront the stigma. It's like, really? I mean, is it best for school children to not be identified as disabled? Is that best? And what's in the education culture, I think what they're really missing, and this has come up so much in this conference and today on the panels, is that there is a very, very vibrant disability culture. There's a lot of advantages to having an identity, and there's a lot of advantages to being identified as disabled. That's kind of lost. And so, you know, everyone's talking about the stigma and how the kids get teased and how they get ostracized and how they're isolated. You know, all of those things need to be confronted. But I don't think we can confront that unless a couple things happen in the future. A lot of coalition work with other civil rights organizations, really infiltrating the education leadership that's making all these designs and getting funding to implement them, to, you know, get them more in touch with a disability movement, and to really confront the issue, like, do we want a future where disability is not named in any of the statutes, like disability kind of disappears? Is that the world we're looking for? Or are we looking for a world where disability is something, an identity that you don't, like in other minorities, get from your family? You get it from being part of a community. And I think what's happening in disability culture is just, it's off the charts. It's so exciting. It's something to be a part of. And I'm just wondering to what extent we lose out when we just say everyone on a spectrum has various issues, and let's forget about the term disability. Thank you.